Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have certainly gone through a lot in these last 2 weeks. We've been on a journey in the Gospel of Matthew, and having seen Jesus preach to the crowds about some wonderful things, he's preached to them about how he is calling everyone to his side, that they may find eternal rest, and they may take upon his yoke that is easy and his burden that is light. We heard even last week that the reason why some people weren't even coming to this message, they weren't taking that wonderful word of Jesus, it was because in the parable of the sower, some were taken away, some were burned by the cares of this world, some were choked by the material things of this world, but those who fell on good soil, that produced an abundant crop. We learned about how God is with us, and we also learned that even in these tough times, we can still know that God is going to be there with us, and that he ultimately is in control, and that we are living in his kingdom. It's a wonderful thing. It's great. But it may not be, maybe not what you expected. I have been thinking a lot lately about expectations in reality. We all know that we have certain expectations in our life. We expect that, small ways, when we go to sleep, well, we're going to wake up in the morning. There is an expectation. We expect that when we, even more simple, when we eat food, we will feel full. There's expectations, small like that. They're almost always guaranteed to happen, but you might not know. But there's still those expectations that we put, and sometimes they're made into reality. But that's not always the case. We can be expected to be treated well, even when sometimes we don't use that same courtesy. We can sometimes expect our leaders will find some way to fix the current issues or to explain what they're going to do better. And, well, reality isn't always kind. And when we don't have those expectations met, we get frustrated, annoyed, confused. And we have to wonder what the reality is. Because we have to remember, as Christians, we know that we are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, living in his kingdom. Here on earth, because even broken as it is, God still reigns over his creation. But the reality is, creation is broken. Paul says in his letter, all creation from the time that Satan entered the world and sin entered the world have been groaning as in childbearing. Groaning and hurt. And the expectation was God was going to do something. That's what I want to talk to you all today, and something that Jesus talks to us about today. Because there's this tension that we live in. The expectation of what we want and the reality of what is. And Jesus meets us today in that tension. Because he does this in another very famous parable of his. The parable of the wheat and the weeds may sound very strange to our ears, and rightly so. I want to read it to you again, but I want you to put yourself as a person in the crowd at that time. Put yourself in their shoes, someone who might not know what's going on in Jesus' ministry, who came to him wanting to see something. They had these expectations of Jesus. I want you to put yourself and come back with me those many centuries ago to a time when overlooking on a boat by a beach, surrounded by thousands of people, one man says these words. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up, they bore grain. Then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Well, master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Once again, this story is told to the crowds, the unbelieving, having expectations crowd. And to his disciples, who were right there with him, who knew Jesus. Both are different audiences that are caught in this tension. And they're having the same story told to them, and the same message is being told to them. But the impact is different. For the crowds who were gathered around them, they had this story and they marveled. Because they were looking at this story and they could only think to themselves, "What kind of bozo is this? Are you kidding me? The guy who has a field is not going to get rid of his weeds." No. The servants are most likely the most knowledgeable people here, they're thinking. At least they had the gumption and they had the audacity and the right to go to the master and say, "Well, do you want us to do this?" They were forward thinking. They were able to do something, and the master still said no. What kind of guy is that? Seriously? Expectations versus reality. The kingdom of God may be compared to a man who did this, Jesus is saying. When Jesus is speaking this parable, there are many different ways that many people across the centuries have interpreted this. Many right ways, talking about how this can be compared to the church. It can be compared to the visible church. It can be compared to the world around us. But for the people there, that first century, those crowds, where we meet ourselves today, Jesus was giving them the same message and impacted them differently. They had expectations. They went out to Jesus looking for someone. We heard it 2 weeks ago where they came out looking for John the Baptist, and what were they expecting? Jesus says, "What did you find? A simple man saying God's word. You came looking for expectations to me, and what did you find? A man who sits and eats with sinners." The expectation that the people of Israel had was that not the reality of what Jesus was doing. Jesus was calling all to his side, loving everyone. That was not what they expected. That's not how they wanted God's kingdom, which was being fulfilled in Jesus and happening in Jesus. That's not how they wanted or expected the kingdom of God to happen. And yet with this parable of the weeds, Jesus is sitting them down and saying to them, "Stop looking for something else. Stop looking and having expectations of God, or putting your expectations on him, and not seeing what I'm offering right in front of you. And I understand it must seem strange to you. I must seem like a man poisoning a field with weeds, and the owner doesn't even do anything. But what you are seeing in me is the present manifestation of God's reign here in the world. Don't expect anything different. You're not going to get it. But look to me. The disciples, when they heard this, got that same message. But the impact was different. When Jesus was explaining this story to the disciples, he portrays to them not the reign of God happening in his ministry, but what will happen at the end times. For they were in the present reign of God, going along with Jesus in his ministry, and he wants to bring them now to the time of the great restoration, that when God will come and send his angels and gather all of his people into his heavenly home, his new heavens and his new earth, where a new reality will be here. One that is free from pain, free from sadness, free from sin. The impact the disciples had, and for us, is that the reign of God here on earth is happening, and the greater reign of God is yet to come. Be patient and wait for it with great expectation. But waiting is the hardest part. We wait along with the whole world with great anticipation. For the Jews who heard this parable those many years, they were told how the kingdom worked and looks like. And for us disciples, we know the ending. But when will it end? Paul rightly states in his letter to the Romans that we, along with all creation, wait with groaning, with anticipation for the coming of the Lord. We wait in hope. But how long can hope last? Once again, we have these expectations. We want God to come now. We want God to do something, anything. It's 2020. You would think he would have come back by now. You would think that all of these things that are happening in the world might be the sign of the end times. That these might be the things that were talked about in Revelation, that were talked about in the Old Testament. Surely that's happening now. Surely God is going to do something about this now, right? And suddenly we're back in that crowd with those Jews and the unbelievers. They were seeing Jesus and expecting things that he wasn't going to do. And that's hard. Because just like the people of Israel, they put their expectations on something else. They put their expectations on their teachers, their leaders in their temple, thinking that, well, God, I can't see God. I don't understand what God is going on. So I'm going to put all of my baskets and all of my eggs into the basket of the temple, all into this visible place that I can be assured in. Well, the temple fell. Where did those expectations go? But we can be like them in putting their hope and expectations in the Roman government, the one who would conquer all of this land. Surely it's going to be great. Surely they can tell us what to do. They're going to be some hope for us, right? Well, the Roman Empire fell. We do the same thing here. We put our expectations and our hopes in our president, our governor, our leaders in the community. We put our hopes and expectations in actors, in sports, in just sport athletes, maybe even in pastors. But I'm going to tell you something. They're all human, and they will all fail to meet your expectations, certainly to meet God's. And then maybe you expect more from yourself. I can't tell you how many times I can wake up in a day or throughout the week and put all of these expectations on myself, what I have to do to help my family, how I have to put these expectations about being a good dad, the expectations of being a good pastor, about being a good husband, and being a good person to everyone out there, to be very, these expectations of being safety, to follow being a good citizen of America, to be a good citizen of Christ, and all these expectations get thrusted upon me one after another, and their reality becomes quite clear that I can't live up to them. I want to. But what Jesus is saying here in the coming kingdom of God that he is working in, that I want to do all this stuff, that I want to try to be better, that I want to, by my own power, be able to do all of this, Jesus is saying, stop. Don't expect anything different. Look to me. Look what I'm doing. You're not going to get anything else but what I give you. And what he gives us is rest. In an easy yoke. For Jesus looked upon the reality of our world, the brokenness, and he looked upon the law that God had given, the law that was to keep everyone his people, the expectation that would be followed. And it wasn't. But God looked upon this world, the reality of our sin. And he did something not expected. He didn't wipe out the world. He didn't curse or destroy humanity. Instead, he sent his son into this world who defied expectations and lived a perfect life, meeting every single expectation of the law and turning it into the reality of a perfectly lived life for you and for me. And defying all expectations of being a perfect man, he died a sinner's death and took upon the reality of our punishment, death, on himself. And then he rose through the power of God to make a new reality that everyone who trusts in his name will have everlasting life, that the reality of death no longer has dominion over them. And what is a new reality is new life in him. He promises that he is coming soon, that he is with us to the very end of the age. This is the reality that Christ has given to us. And yes, we live in this reality now, a broken world that is screaming, groaning for him to come back. So what can we do? We can pray. Paul does not leave his people in Rome in this state of what if. He says that God has given you something to help you in this time of waiting with great hope and with great expectation. He has given you his Holy Spirit. God lives inside of you. God lives inside of you, giving you hope, giving you peace, helping you to understand his word when you read it or hear it with your ears. But he does something wonderful. And more. He promises that when you pray to God for anything, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with words too deep for groaning. So the very things we don't know what we need to pray for, the very things that we don't pray for but we should, and maybe even the things that are forgotten, the Holy Spirit, God within us, knows and brings those to God in heaven, who hears and answers our prayers. That is the reality, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we live in. The world is still crazy. It can be full of weeds. It can be full of wonderful things. But let us not put our expectation on the things of this world, but rather our trust in the one who works, the one who saves, the one who is near, and the one who hears us, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen.